Reviving the Boogaloo tradition of the 1960s, born in the barrios of New York, it's the Boogaloo Assassins. I mean, where do they get these names? The Boogaloo Assassins from Los Angeles with Do You Want to Dance with Me? It's from their 2013 debut album, Old Love Dies Hard. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And as you know, it is Free Your Mind Friday. Your mind belongs to you and you alone. And this is a time for you to share with the rest of us what you're thinking about anything. The floor is open to you to express yourself about issues and events that you think warrant further discussion and debate, or perhaps for a discussion and debate for the first time. 888-874-4888 is a number to call, and we're going to start right away with Walter from Virginia.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the Eutrice Lead PRN family.
Thank you so much, and good afternoon to you, Walter.
Called in a while, but what I'd like to mention is last week you did a show on Thursday, November the 9th. I did not hear it. I only heard about it when one of your callers on last Friday on Free Your Mind Friday had remarked about it, where you had discussed something about Tawana Brawley. I went out to the PRN archives to listen to it because my curiosity was piqued, only to find that they did not have it archived. I wasn't sure if you knew about that. I did send an email, but I haven't heard back.
I got quite a few notes about it, and I looked at it. And I was wondering, because at the last minute, I switched out and did the Tawana Brawley commentary in the second half of the program. So I'm trying to find out, because normally I describe what I'm going to say, what the program is about. And it probably was because the second half of the program was not listed. But I'm looking into it. I really am.
Okay, great, because I would really like to hear it. So thank you so much for that.
No problem.
All righty. Thank you, Eutrice. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Okay, now that's much better. First of all, to the beloved family, let's embrace each other and move forward because we live in serious, serious times. First, I want to address, and earlier on in the week, you had a question. I don't remember it exactly, but it was around Roy Moore and all the, all the revelations around how this sexual assault harassment culture is embedded in the society. It's a piece of cake. Okay, this guy was banned from the mall and the Y, which is well documented because he was such a predator. So we can't be namby-pammy, and oh, the women brought it on, that type of a situation. And additionally, I heard, Eutrice, I heard like a nihilism, a general tone, and a lot of callers, especially the last caller, she used a term, feminazi, which is a term that was originated by Russ Limbaugh, that creep, you see. And we know about his pills and how he wants to lock all the black people up with drugs, but he's an addict himself, et cetera, et cetera. So I just need to say that we need to be careful about denialism, because we wound up with this disastrous, incompetent, idiotic Donald Trump behind a form of nihilism. Secondly, I want to clarify, because I would never, ever look to be off topic. So I was really misunderstood yesterday with Charles Ortel. The questions that followed up with, I think it was Leona and a gentleman caller, brother, put what I was concerned about just in a different way is when you have Paul, the corrupt a grifter, a.k.a. Donald Trump, looking to bring some justice, a.k.a. Pauline, Hillary Clinton, that corruptible person. It's an important question, and it's not going to work if we look, you know, the things that I'm hearing around Donald Trump from certain sector, it's like we're on two different planets. You know, because we hear him say, oh, he's hardworking. Well, this guy is putting federal judges into place, according to a report by Sherilyn Eiffel, who's director of the NAACP Legal Defense. He's bringing federal judges on that have no qualifications. One guy, I believe his name is Brent Talley, he actually was blogging and giving a tribute to the first KKK guy. I think his name is Nathan Bedford or something. I'm blanking on that right now. But these are people who are horrific. The four of them disqualified by the American Bar Association, equivalent in 9 months to all of George W. Bush's nominees. And we know we weren't in love with George W. Bush. So that's what I have to say. In
all
terms
right,
of
but hold on
mind.
For a second. So maybe, you know, you may want to react to what it is I'm going to say in response to what you just said. This issue of Mr. Moore, Roy Moore, and whether he should be disqualified or prevented from running for office or whatever it is, because he has had so many things in the past. The point I was making is that, in a sense, these things are irrelevant to the point. The point being, he is not charged with anything. And the women... I mean, Gloria Allred is a very smart lawyer, and there are many smart women involved in this issue, but they're playing fast and loose. And it is in the end, this is going to hurt women more than anybody else. When you throw aside people's rights, constitutional rights. Now, I'm not saying that he's a guy who ought to be elected. I don't have any particular reason to like him. He seems to be, you know, in many quarters, a very reviled man. But look, we had Donald Trump for president. So the point I'm making is, don't play fast and loose and cut corners because you're taking advantage of a strategic position, that being that we are women and people will be reluctant to come up against us in a fight. But the issue still remains, and it's legitimate. He has not been charged with a crime. The lawyers are acting as if he has been, as if they don't know what defamation is and libel and slander. And they're presenting a false narrative and impression to the public so that their clients can prevail and perhaps look for some money or look for some kind of notoriety. But that is not fair. That is not the right way to go. It certainly does not have any integrity to it. If you know, I mean, a lawyer ought to know when there is a charge and when there isn't a charge, when a person can be brought forward as your client and they're talking emphatically as if he has been tried and found guilty. And there isn't even a legitimate charge. That's my point. I don't really, I'm not in love with this man. I don't think he would, he really should be a candidate for president. But the system allowed him to be. In the same way the system allowed Trump to be. a candidate for the Republican Party, even though many people in the Republican Party couldn't stand him. He found a way around it and he became a, quote, legitimate candidate, unquote. And let's not talk about Hillary Clinton. We have to play by the rules here. The man is whatever it is he is, but he has managed to put his name in contention for the U.S. Senate seat left vacant by Mr. Sessions, and he was entitled to run for the seat based on the rules, right? He put his name in contention. He began and launched a campaign, and he gathered a pretty good and sizable groundswell of support. So as far as things go, he hasn't broken any laws. Now come these women going back to 1977, for crying out loud. And they are being treated as if they are absolutely truthful and that they have the right and the privilege of condemning somebody as if this has occurred in a court of law. They haven't filed a first piece of paper. This is my point. This is going to hurt women. And it may seem a wonderful way to go because they're gaining ground. But Gloria Allred is way out of line. And in fact, I would say that she should be brought before the lawyers committee. This is not the way a lawyer is supposed to behave. A lawyer is not supposed to advise a client and to sit there with her when at these news conferences the client is saying all these things and with the expectation that we must believe that they're true. And look what they picked up speed. And indeed, in the middle of a political campaign, they choose to do this. So they have a reason for behaving very irregularly. So that's my point. That is my point. If it were done to a woman, there would be all, I mean, even now, Hillary Clinton is belly aching about what was done to sabotage her campaign. Look, the rules are the rules. We didn't set them as voters. We didn't set the rules. The party and the political process set the rules. He apparently made it through the rules. He didn't do anything illegal according to the rules. And according to the law, he has not been charged yet with a crime.
If I can respond, Eutrice.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I have to respectfully disagree in this respect. First of all, I never thought I'd agree with Mitch McConnell, and I misnamed him the other day, but it's McConnell, and that is, I believe the women, and I understand how the structure works, that we're very lucky that these revelations came out. First of all, the court system, we can't look at it as an absolute system, especially as people of color, because we know that that's a whole system in place that ensnares us and has built a whole system of being in cages, you know. So additionally, I mean, this guy is so racist that he wants to unseat Keith Ellison,
yes,
and ban...
But none of that is relevant. What we are thinking, our opinion, comes in when there's time to vote, if he's on the ballot.
Yeah. Eutrice, I got to run because my bell is ringing, sweetie. I got to run.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. I'll continue. This is not about whether you like the guy or don't like the guy. This is about how they're playing fast and loose with the law. And I just finished doing a commentary on that, which I shared with you, about how very different it was in the Tawana Brawley case. They didn't do that. The same women today who are also talking about, well, you know, we cannot allow these things to happen to women, have had nothing to say in support of Tawana Brawley. They have had nothing to say. So what is good for the goose is good for the gander. I am not taking sides here with regard specifically to the candidate. You know, he is what he is, and people are saying all kinds of things about him. That does not come into my realm of consciousness in order to raise my point. My point still stands. They are really engaging in some very nasty tactics. These women who are posing, and their lawyers, Gloria Allred here has to account for a lot. You're a lawyer to a person who has made a claim. You ought to know, a first year law student knows that is not enough to engage in the defamation of anybody's character. It is not enough to qualify as a charge. You know what is a charge. A charge is when the person who has been harmed allegedly comes to some authority, authenticates the situation, gives a scenario and accounts for what had happened from her point of view. It is evaluated, it is investigated, and then if there is enough evidence to support a charge, that's when it becomes a charge by way of the district attorney. Now you have a charge, and the charge is now actionable, and you can then talk. But until that point, you should not be presenting a client with a claim from 1977 that is not authenticated anywhere, that is not legitimate, until something happens to verify and there's evidence produced and a DA can proceed to litigate that charge, to charge the alleged defendant with a crime, and then you put 12 people in a box, a jury box, and then whatever happens, happens. But you cannot go around leveling charges at this man or anybody, at anybody, and you don't have any evidence. And you're playing fast and loose with the law because you know you have on your side the sympathy of the public. At least you've cultivated the sympathy of the public. And then we have an ignorant and mean-spirited press, media, acting like they have never, ever been exposed to the laws of libel and slander and defamation, that they know nothing about it. They're as much as convicted this man. And if you were to ask them, where is the evidence that allows you to make such a definitive judgment as to his innocence or guilt? That's not your job. And you're way out of your sphere of influence when you start engaging in that. But mark my words, the women may be making points and gathering steam, but it is going the wrong way, and it is gathering the wrong kind of steam. And women across this country will pay for it, believe me. Oh, I didn't even mean to say that, because that's what Trump says, believe me. No. Khalil from North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, you Trees. How are you doing today?
Okay, how about you?
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're giving this issue a sober look as you usually do, for lots of reasons. But like anything else, we often let our emotions override factual, the facts, because, emotions are powerful. But see, at the end of the day, this will never really be resolved because this is a he say, she say type of accusation. Decades ago, there's been no mention of any physical evidence. And if we start to operate in this fashion, it reminds me of, countless historical cases like the Scottsboro Boys. And, I mean, we can just, this is the oldest trick in the book. Now, I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I don't know. I was not there. But what I'm saying is that when we start going down this road, it's very dangerous for everyone. And like you said, maybe women will end up being hurt the most at the end of this. Because, I mean, that's just the law, So we'll see what happens with the libel and this and that. But it's just really messy. The timing is strange. And I'm not saying this because I'm in favor of Roy Moore, because I think he's a terrible human being, and the way his actions are terrible. He's someone that I would choose not to be around. I mean, he's done aberrant things, all through. I mean, this is just the icing on the cake. But that's what separates us. We have a law. We have laws, and that's what separates us from other societies, But anybody can say anything, as the way I'm trying to say. Does that make any sense?
You're making a lot of sense, is what I'm saying. Clearly, he is not a beloved member of the community, but he still, even so, he has garnered enough support from a base. He has a base. Trump, same thing. Trump is not fit to be president of the United States.
No.
But he went through the, he went through the rituals and complied with the rituals of running for office. He was found to be okay by the Republican Party. He had built his base, et cetera, et cetera. So
right.
He's president, and still odious, still offensive.
And there are two things I want to add to this discussion right now. Number one, back to Roy Moore. I've been listening to the local radio stations in Alabama, and that is – those people, like people in Alabama, a large majority, they, it doesn't matter what Roy Moore does in terms of race or being homophobic or xenophobic or liking to touch young women. None of that matters to them. That's their guy. That's who they want. And, so we're falling back into sectionalism because a lot of us wouldn't even think twice. Like, oh, I'm sorry, And that's what's so dangerous about accusations. But, it's not just that issue with them. But that's who those folks want. That's why it's Alabama. So I think that's a whole other discussion. But
that's a whole other. But you see where this has already gone down a slippery slope with people playing fast and loose and flexing their muscles. And I am not ignoring the fact at all that Gloria Allred, many of the women themselves, but the lawyers ought to know better. They mm-hmm. ought to know better. And because they are actively engaging in the defamation of a person and with the intent to scuttle his run for office, they need to be brought before the, this is where, you bring them before the lawyers committee. And
right.
You ask them, is this what a lawyer is supposed to do? Are you supposed to be in this way? Basically,
right.
Leading the charge to make sure that he's dumped.
Well,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. And just the second point about Trump and the rules, and you often talk of this, and I think more people need to listen to it and process it. in terms when the it is our parties, they're like country clubs, they're private clubs, which means that they write their own rules. So they could have written rules that would have excluded Trump. They could have written his name and his address, you know, wherever he lives, you know, 6400 unit block of Park Avenue, wherever he lives. You know, anyone who resides here is not eligible to be a candidate in this cycle. It's that easy. They write their own rules. Just, you know, it's that simple. So it's not illegal, but they want it, and they had the opportunity. So that's the system.
That's it.
Thanks a lot.
I think they ought to live within the rules that they set, and by those rules, he qualified. Roy Moore qualified to be a candidate. But look at how many people would not have been candidates, okay?
It's frightening.
If the truth were known about, look at how many people. So I don't get the sense that, I don't get the reason why they're making such an exception here when there is no official charge. There's no official charge against this man. It's just what people are saying. And I'm not suggesting that they're making things up. I'm suggesting that there's the law. Follow the law.
If they take this to the logical conclusion and exclude Roy Moore, number one, they're going to really irritate people in Alabama because they will see that as an affront from Yankees. And I live here. I know Yankees and the D.C. crowd. And number two, that opens the door to looking at the current president because his situation is not that much different.
Hello. Somebody ought to be listening to that. Thanks for your call. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
My beloved family. How are we?
How you doing?
All right. You see, I want to say something that a lot of people may disagree with, but I have no concern. I think Donald Trump. Hello, are you there? Hello?
Yes, but getting a lot of interference on your end.
Oh, I don't know what I mean.
But we'll deal with it. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, as far as I'm concerned, he's the best president the United States ever had, in my judgment.
Okay, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Number one, you're arrogant, you're hateful, you're evil, and you say you're rich. We know you filed bankruptcy 9 times. And what you're doing is exposing this to the entire world, and you're hateful. This is what we know, and this is what America is as towards the dark people of the earth. Now, I have no interest or concern in what they do. I say, what concerns me is what are we going to do? What are we doing? For instance, thank God for Garinol for creating PRN. Now we already have a head start. Now all we have to do is support it and finance it. And spread the word. Whatever change we want to make, whoever we want to be president, we could do it through PRN. For example, I was in the hospital last night. I broke 2 ribs, and I was in the hospital, and I was talking to the doctors and the nurses, everybody. And right, make you know, even in my pain, you know, and
you should have been.
I realized that the only way we're going to make this change is if people are educated, and the people in PRN are doing a superb job, and not only are they doing superb job. Every time they sit in front of the mic, I'm scared. I'm saying they're going to kill these people because we know what this so-called government is all about. You know? If, for example, in our telephone, in our cell phones, all the programs I listen to, I share the information with everyone in my contact on a daily basis. So after a while, people begin to get tired and say, I want to know what is this guy sending? And I explain to them what they might not understand, because you all deal with advanced people and people who are not advanced. The money, why couldn't we send, let's say, just $5 just for the political action committee, just $5, and that alone is for the political action committee. We select the people from within PRN. What if we if we develop the audience, the media? I have no time to listen to them. I'll waste my time with them because I know what they're about. Now, they're talking about this rape. Please, give me a break. How many black women did the whole story about the rape and the women revolution, it tells me one thing alone. It shows you just how racist and hateful this society is. Because starting with, you did a program on Thomas Jefferson. What about black women? It's only white women that count. You know how many of black women were raped and are still being raped, and it means nothing in the society? You see what I'm saying?
I understand your point.
PRN and the
well.
People in here, the honest, honorable, decent people in PRN, we could change all of this. It is we are the problem, not them. They're going to do what they do and what they are doing. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm about to make a very bold statement. You see, in my judgment, thank God for speak your mind. Now, you see, Trump, I know my family, they're going to think I'm crazy, but he was born for this day and this time. And I think also, many, many people know that's true. But guess what? What they don't know is that the most honorable Minister Farrakhan is born for this day and this time also. This is what we don't know. Now, when you look at the weather, I know that there's global warming and climate change. I know there's HAARP. I know all of this. But that, in my judgment, this is not what it's about. They are planning to make their move on the most honorable Minister Farrakhan. Those are just signs of what to come when they make their move. Then the whole world will no longer believe in God. They will know who God is based on what he gets when he gets done with this thing we call America, because it has been too long. It has done so much evil and killed so much people all over the world, and the time is here today. Well, by the way, he had a press conference. The most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had a press conference yesterday in Washington. You could go to the Nation of Islam website and look for the press conference. And I've been watching it over and over and over because I stood at that brother. He is, in my judgment, is not to be listened to. He is to be studied. And you know, all of these things you see coming in play, and your program, Gary, and Wolf, these people, I listen to them over and over again. So there's no time for corporate media. This is no time for it. And on top of that, we are paying them to insult our intelligence and our decency. And that doesn't make sense. Why do we not take the money that we send to cable and send to PRN? Why do we not do that? You see what I'm saying? So what
I have no argument with you on that point. I really believe very strongly that we cannot take alternative media for granted and just believe that, oh, well, they'll be there. They'll always be there. A lot of these media organizations are, as they go up against the system, they are incurring all kinds of wrath from the system itself. And what hampers very often the growth of these organizations, of course, is a lack of finances to continue to just even keep the doors open. Many media organizations are functioning sacrificially, really. People are sacrificing their time and their energy order to produce information.
Right.
So your point is well taken. And I wish that people would listen to it and, you know, react appropriately. Like you said, $5 a month is $5 less.
No. The $5 is for the political work we're going to do. So we could make Gary president. We're not going to tell him yet.
But I'm saying the concept that you're presenting is not only a legitimate one, but one that I support. Because we have to get into the habit of supporting things that
support us. We support cable, the amount of money we send to these people. I mean, whenever I go to my friend's house, they turn their TV off because they see me coming. Because these people really irritate me. Because after so many years of listening to people like you and Gary and so on, I know what they're saying is outrageous and it's a lie. So you're insulting my intelligence and my decency. I can't deal with that. So if we
turn off the TV and learn something from a different source, I love that.
I go off because I feel, how could you sit and watch this thing, what these people and what they're saying? And there's so many people that cannot see beyond that. But we are fortunate enough to be listening to know about PRN, our WBI. Even though it is corrupt.
I want to say this to you, and I want you to understand that I mean it 1,000%. You are a man with a great heart. And you understand the concept of duty, and you take it upon yourself to literally fulfill your own commitment to duty. I know that.
But
and
if
I
we
thank
want
you for
change,
it,
you chief, we have to make the change. We want, if, as long as we wait for somebody else to do that, they're going to do it in their favor. I mean, what's so hard to understand about that?
I get it. But sometimes you have to be forceful to remind people that this is not just about, you know, we get together and all is well. It is about seeing also to the welfare and the continuity of a medium that has already established itself as being for the community, in the interest of the community. And I wish and I encourage people to heed your words today and take it upon themselves to commit to supporting the station and what it stands for and what it will continue to do with support. Thanks, Willie, for your call today. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings, you trees, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you. To you, too.
Thank you. Listen, I was just wondering if you had the opportunity yet to find out what happened to the show from
Oh, yes,
Thursday.
I talked about it. I think it was because I changed it at the last minute. Usually I describe the show and I send in the description ahead of the show. And in the last minute, the second segment, I switched out at the last minute because this was on my mind. And I didn't list it in the description, perhaps. So only the top part of the program was listed, and there was no mention of Tawana Brawley because I sent it in so early, I didn't even have a chance to change it. So I got quite a few calls about it, and so I'm trying to figure out what it is that happened, and it will be corrected.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, and that's all I had today. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Jay from New York, you're on the air. We're having some trouble with Brother Jay today. He was on, then he got off, then he's on, but he's not there. All right. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice. Thanks for taking
Hello.
My call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention, because I haven't heard anybody mention it, that John Lester, the ringleader of the Howard Beach gang that chased Michael Griffin, and I believe the other man's name was Cedric Sanford,
yes,
onto the Belt Parkway with armed with bats with nails in them, and caused Michael Griffin to run into the traffic and get hit by a speeding car and killed. And then those four youths were put on trial, and three of them were found guilty of manslaughter. 5 to 15 they had to do. So John Lester did his 15 years, moved back to England where he's originally from, and now they say he committed suicide. He's in his 40s. So that's the news that I heard. I didn't know if anybody else heard that.
But, no, I'm just hearing it from you.
I got it from YouTube, and I wasn't able to get much information, but that's the latest I heard on the Howard Beach situation there, which ended right before Dr. Sebi, Alfredo Bowman, also known as Dr. Sebi, went on trial for false claims of curing people of cancer and diabetes and AIDS and all these diseases. He was put into jail for taking out an ad in, I think, the Amsterdam News or some one of those papers. And Robert Abrams wanted to put Dr. Sebi into jail. And Dr. Sebi came to court and defended himself with bare feet in Supreme Court in Queens, New York. And the trial didn't last too long because Dr. Sebi had all the right answers. And the judge ordered him to bring 7 patients for the 7 ailments that he said he cured. And he had to bring them to court the next day. And Dr. Sebi had the 7 patients plus 70 Amish people from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where Lancaster Laboratories that tested his cures, and they testified in court that the herbs that Dr. Sebi recommended works according to the diagnostic sheets that Dr. Sebi provided. And he won in court and was exonerated. And Robert Abrams was very upset about that. And I think that's why they were so vindictive to Tawana Brawley, which case came up just as Dr. Sebi's case ended. So you had the Howard Beach with 3 of the men being found guilty of manslaughter. And then you had Dr. Sebi winning in court. And then they do this thing to Tawana Brawley. And I said her rights were violated from day one. When they bring her to the hospital in the condition that this girl was in, they allowed two police officers to come in there to the hospital room where she's just with her mother and try to interrogate her to see what she knew. And when she saw the two white officers, she got crazy. She was frightened and definitely disturbed her. So they leave the room, and then they get a black officer from another county to come and question her so they could see how much she was willing to say. When she wrote white cop on that piece of paper, that's when the case was all lost, because she gave them Jump Street to see what they had to do to put this girl in the condition that she had to be in. I don't know what was wrong with her mother, but her mother should have never allowed no officers to question her, because if a police officer was involved in this attack, she was giving them a chance to prepare their case against her. Now, that's why I feel her rights were violated.
Well, actually, no. Her rights were not violated in that sense. Whenever a person is brought to a hospital and it's determined that something happened to them, something traumatic happened to them, it automatically kicks in that the police would be called, and the circumstances that the patient is in will be recorded, because it would have by then been determined that a crime occurred, some kind of crime occurred, and this automatically kicks in. If a woman were to bring in a child into the emergency room and says the child has a fever, and upon examination, the child is found to have bruises and knots on the skin and marks on the skin, suggesting that this child had been abused, immediately the emergency room is supposed to trigger a call that there is a child in the emergency room presenting all of the symptoms of abuse. That's what happens. So in that sense, it was not unusual that the police would be called into the emergency room given the condition that Tawana Brawley is in. Now, the mother could do nothing about that, or almost nothing to do about that, because this is now a police case, a police investigation. And I did explain before that although she initially freaked out when she was conscious that there was a white police officer in the room, and a white part-time police officer was among her alleged attackers and kidnappers, she just freaked out. But they still had to pursue the question of what exactly were we looking at? That's what the question was. What is this? What are we looking at here? And we need information immediately, because it is possible that we may have to move immediately. So they sent for an African-American police officer, and she was not in a position to engage in a long and lengthy conversation. But she answered the question, what happened to you? And scrawled, white cop on the pad that the police officer offered her, because she was not in a position to talk. So we have to bear in mind that there are procedures that occur when someone comes into the emergency room and presents a situation where you can't help but believe something dramatic had happened to the person, but there are procedures, and this is one of the procedures. Immediately, the police are called in to ascertain some of the basics, what happened here. And in some cases, that has helped the police move faster in solving cases. But, of course, we know that this was an unusual case. So that right. is why.
Okay, but I still feel that was kind of trickery going on there, because they knew she wouldn't talk to white cops. But they tricked her by bringing a cop from another district that she never absorbed.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I don't think in the beginning
there was any trickery going on.
I understand your point.
What you're saying is true. But in my opinion, the way they did it was sneaky. And they should have given her a chance to recover a little bit. So maybe when the first time the police officers came in to question her and they saw her freak out so much, can't you give the girl maybe 24 hours to recover a little bit and maybe get a chance to speak with her attorney, and then he could relay the messages to the police instead of hounding the poor girl who knows what happened to her? But they saw the condition that she was in. The ambulance driver on YouTube, he said that definitely something traumatic happened to the girl, and she needed a little time just to, like, recover.
Well, sometimes it doesn't work like that.
All right.
It's not out of malice, or it's not out of any, you know, negative purpose. It is simply that the feeling is, and this is how they're trained, that the sooner they can get information, the better. And that's all that happened there at the time. So, you know, with 2020 hindsight, we could say, well, you know, she evidently was suffering a traumatic situation. But that's not what happens in a situation where people can tell there is something wrong here. And the sooner they can get to it, the better.
Right. Now, with Stephen Pagonis, why is he able to have a judgment against her for $360,000? Now, the girl is now 30 years later. She has a nurse. She went to school, got a nursing license, moved to Virginia, changed her name, and is trying to make a living and go on with her life. And she has to still be hounded by this Stephen Pagonis character, who I believe was part of the gang that did what they did to her. And nobody even knows what actually had taken place because of the way the case was handled. Alton Maddox was railroaded, and I believe that he is the greatest attorney ever to walk the face of the earth, and he had no chance to prepare anything before we could get Harry Crist Jr. isolated and protected from anybody doing anything to him, because he was going to be a key witness. He was murdered. And they said he committed suicide. Now, how does Stephen Pagonis get away with this? He said the 4 days that she said Harry Crist was part of the gang, he testifies that Harry Crist was with him all the time. He's not a good friend of his, but he happened to be with him for those 4 days. They went Christmas shopping, and they got receipts from the mall that they went to proving that. And then he gets to have a $360,000 judgment against this poor girl, which they're taking the money out of her paycheck to give to Stephen Pagonis. 30 years later, the girl was 15 years old. Even if she did make up a story, how can you be so vindictive? And that's why I think this was revenge for Howard Beach and Dr. Sebi winning in court, and the 15 year sentence to the other three guys. They said that they didn't touch the guy. He ran across the road and got hit by a car, and that's why he got killed. Why should they go to jail for manslaughter? Something went on very ugly, Treese, And we
I know, I reported
that.
It. I reported on these cases.
I understand that.
So, I have a different appreciation from what the public has been fed. There's no question that the Brawley case on many, many counts was a fraudulent case in the sense that the district attorney did not do the job. There are so many irregularities. It was riddled with irregularities. And it all was about crushing this case, making sure it never happened, because one of the lead defendants was the son of a very well-connected political operative in Dutchess County. He himself was an assistant district attorney. And they were friends, as a matter of fact. The state attorney general and the Pagonises were friends with each other. They even lived close to each other. So we have so many irregularities in this case, but it was clear only in hindsight that could you see this? The intention was to prevent the case from coming to trial. Thanks so much for your call. And that brings us to the end of the program today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Dr. Jack Rasmus and Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. Have yourselves a good weekend. We'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.